From the beautiful Finger Lakes region of upstate New York, this is the Dental Lighthouse Podcast. We take questions from anyone in the dental profession and discuss what it takes to win not only in dentistry, but in life. Business, leadership, relationships, parenting, health and wellness, money management, nothing is off limits on the Dental Lighthouse Podcast. I'm Jason Tenori, your host, and have over 20 years of experience to pull from. Learn from my mistakes and let me help you collapse time so you can become the best version of yourself. Next on the Dental Lighthouse Podcast, we have Caitlin Mendez from Costa Rica. Caitlin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you?
Better than I deserve. So Caitlin is a fellow coach. Her and I have many mutual clients. Caitlin is a rock star resource for the Dental Success Network, the Dental Success Institute, Front Office Academy. Basically, if you have any question about anything in dentistry, from treatment planning to how to find MB2 on an upper first molar, Caitlin is the person that you want to reach out to. So Caitlin,
not the latter. I'm not a dentist. So no.
Caitlin is not a dentist, but, between you and I, listeners, she's smarter than a handful of dentists that I've actually had the opportunity to talk to. So Caitlin, so blessed to have you on the show. You just come with such a wealth of knowledge, and I'm excited about this conversation.
Me too. Thanks for having me. Glad we got to do this on Good Friday.
Yeah, no doubt. He has risen. We were off air. Caitlin and I talked a little bit about what we wanted to talk about, and I'll let you unpack that, Caitlin, and then we'll just get into it.
Sure. Yeah. So the subject that I had brought up, because it's what I see trending with clients right now, is, how do we reduce turnover by improving our culture, by providing a better onboarding experience, a better training experience. And then, as our team changes naturally, as attrition happens and stuff, how do we maintain a strong culture, even when we lose some key players, so that when we bring the new people in, they come into something that's really well established and cared for.
Yeah. Yeah. If you and I could figure that out in the next 15, 20 minutes, I think a lot of people would benefit. Right. And I appreciate you suggesting, like you did earlier, that I'm pretty good at this in my organization. The reality is, I used to be horrible, and you learn from mistakes and you get a little bit better every day. And then just a couple of weeks ago, we went through an experience where, it was a blessing because it forced us to get better and forced us to kind of tweak things even more. So there's no like, this is the solution, go with it. It's from my perspective, it's one of those things like you just continue to get better. Like you just, wherever you're at and just get better tomorrow and set an expectation that's a little bit more clear tomorrow and tweak this so it's a little bit better next week. And then all of a sudden you kind of pick up your head and you're like, oh, okay. You know, things are trending better than they were a few years ago. So
exactly. Yeah. Just making little changes, like you said, and really the clarity of expectations. I think one of the things people fail at is really defining what does behavior look like in our office? How do we treat each other? You know, what do we do when somebody makes a mistake? How do you deal with that? When we don't have a lot of clarity around those values, what happens is people don't handle them right. And then we get, you know, upset with the employee for not handling it right, because it causes a bigger issue. But really it's our fault as the leaders for not establishing really clear, norms for, you know, how are we going to act at work when you're spending more time with each other than we are with our families, you know?
100%. So with that backdrop, maybe let's just go back and forth a little bit. And, I can start and say some of the things that I think help solve this problem. And then please fight me on it if you don't agree with it, or push back and provide some healthy tension and make me better. And we'll go from there.
That's good.
Okay. So I'm constantly communicating to my team that there's really two things that define success from an employee perspective. It's, are they a good core value fit? And do they have complete control and clarity on their roles and responsibilities. And both of those topics start with leadership, start with ownership. First and foremost, do we have core values in place? And from my perspective, it's way beyond just having core values listed on a wall or on a t-shirt. It's making sure that those core values are well defined and making sure that those core values are being used ideally on a daily basis, but certainly during monthly reviews, weekly check-ins, minute meetings, stuff like that. So we have 8 core values. And I think where things started to get a little bit more clear for us, you know, like we're talking about growing 1% every day, is once we started to really define those clearly, and we almost tried to scare new hires with them, basically saying that these are our 8 core values, and during the interviewing process, and let's just get this out there that if you're not going to live and breathe these, you're not going to last very long here. And it's been amazing for me to see some people get super excited and embrace that because they come from somewhere where there was no direction or guidelines on how you're supposed to behave. So that's one end of the spectrum. And then the other end of the spectrum is it really does scare people. And they say things like, I'll call you, and you never hear from them again, which is a blessing, right? Because I would rather have them.
Yeah.
I would rather not get into the
totally,
90.
Fail fast. Before you even hire them, ideally.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's awesome. You know, I think it is, like you said, a lot of people are coming from offices where they have bosses that just really haven't put the work into defining those core values, helping their team understand what they are, if they even have core values. There's some offices that have no core values even at all. But like I said, a lot of them, they have them, but they're kind of in a manual that nobody ever opens, or they're up on a wall in a corner that nobody ever looks at. And like you said, they're living, breathing things, right? These are just the same way in our homes, how we define, you know, expectations of behavior for our children and our spouses and ourselves, right? There's norms in our homes of how what's going to be tolerated. We have to have the same clarity at our offices, so that people can thrive, so that people can follow those. And like you said, live them, breathe them, act on them every day, and talk about them so that they're constantly living. And, you know, I think it's also an evolution, right? Like if you find in a yearly meeting that you go back and you feel like, oh, wait, one of our core values, we don't really do this one much. You know, does it still fit, or do we want to talk as a team about, you know, replacing it? And that's okay too. But it should be something that we're touching all the time. One of the things that, when an office is struggling to kind of get those core values off the ground in terms of, launching them with their team, that I recommend they do is in huddle, look for a win that's related to core value from the day before. And each team member has to throw out a friend who demonstrated that value yesterday. So one team member a day has to be related to any of your core values, but you have to give an example of how they lived it yesterday. And I think it's a great way to start off with a really positive note in the morning. Like, hey, I'm really proud of, you know, Sarah for walking her patient all the way up to the car and making sure she got in her car safe because her patient was 88 and, you know, she was driving herself. So Sarah really wanted to make sure she took good care of her. So that lines with her core value of, you know, compassion, or, you know, whatever core value it goes with. So, it's just kind of nice little, it's a nice little warm fuzzy to start the day. And then also it trains our teams to be looking out for the good in each, they know they have this, they're going to be randomly called on to give an example. So it puts a filter on us where we're looking for the good in each other. And I think that's something that's really important in building a strong, like healthy culture is, you know, let's catch each other doing things right. Let's give each other high fives when we have successes, right? I think it's so easy. The human brain is so easy to, you know, to skew negative and say, oh no, she made a mistake. She didn't do this thing. But she did 25 other things right. So let's find one of those to celebrate.
Everything that you just said, Caitlin, is so beautiful. And, so granular and tactical, and I love it. I mean, I love finding ways to make sure the core values come out of the operations manual and start getting discussed or observed on a regular basis. And from my perspective, it starts with the leader. You know, you can't have a well-defined core value of humility, but the owner, Doc, has got an ego that enters the room 20 minutes before he does. So making sure that we're living the core values, especially leadership and ownership. And then to your point, such a great one of figuring out strategic ways to keep it top of mind all the time. And then again, your first point about this is a fluid thing. I don't think core values should change at weekly meetings, but after a year or two, if something is not resonating anymore, then don't be afraid to revisit it. In fact, we just did that as an organization 3 or 4 months ago, where we're to the point now where we have almost 150 employees. And I was struggling to communicate to the group how influential they are on the people that they lead. So we brainstormed that. We created a core value called impact and influence. And it was just a constant reminder, really for everybody, but mainly for team leads, office managers, anyone in the leadership, like, this is an awesome responsibility. And if you're going to lead a group of 6, 7, 8 people, you have to understand on a regular basis how much influence you have over them, how you're ultimately responsible for growing this person professionally and personally. And it's a non-negotiable. Like, if you are not on board with how much influence and impact you have on someone, that's cool, but you're not going to be in a leadership position, because our frontline workers, our young dental assistants, hygienists, TCs, they need to look to their leader and be positively influenced by them. So I love everything that you just said. It just so resonates with me.
That's a great one. I love that one. Impact and influence, because even if you think about how it trickles down to the rest of the team, I mean, a dental assistant has great impact and influence over the patient that she's giving post-op instructions to. Or the hygienist has huge impact and influence on a patient that she's giving oral hygiene instructions to, or she's trying to help them change habits. So, you know, not only from the leadership perspective, right, but also it empowers our team to really know how important it is what they do every day and how much influence they have over our patients. And so I think that's a great one. And yeah, I agree. Core values should not be changed willy-nilly, like, you know, not a weekly thing, but like you said, every year, every couple of years, revisit it and make sure it still defines your organization and that you guys are using all of them, right? Because that's what they're meant to be used, is they have to be lived, right? And with leadership, like you said, that impact and influence thing, I mean, our teams will do what we do, not what we say, right? So if they see us coming in late for work, right, they're going to come in late for work. They're going to say, well, you know, if Caitlin's my boss and Caitlin gets to show up at 8:15 every day, why does it matter? Why do I have to be here at 8? Right.
No question.
And that even goes for associate doctors, right? I know that's sometimes a struggle in practices, right? The associate doctor will come in like right on time for their very first patient. They'll miss the huddle and they'll miss the team portion of prepping for the day. And I think that's something that people struggle with, because he's the doctor or she's the doctor, but they don't want to, you know, but they're also an employee, but the reality is the doctor is always a leader in the practice, whether they're the associate or the owner, right? So it's really important that that we're aware of our actions and we're conscious about them. Because again, our teams are going to have influence no matter what. It could be good influence or it could be bad influence. We want to make sure it's good influence, right? So
right.
We got to walk the walk, as they say.
100%. So going off of what you just said, maybe the next thing that we unpack is accountability for behavior, right? So the example that you just gave is a great one, a team member being late for work. But the reality is that any task, any role, any responsibility within the practice, in my opinion, you can ultimately paint a framework of accountability too. So in the example that you gave, a hygienist, an assistant, a doctor being late for work, what we've had success with is when you start to see that happening, pulling that person aside and just going through some basic questions, right? So having a conversation that's based in empathy and love and grace, and asking things like, you know, hey, Mary, our expectation here is that you're meant to be at morning meeting or meant to be in the office 20 minutes before the first patient. I apologize if that wasn't clear to you. Do you understand that that's the expectation? And if it was a new hire and the onboarding was horrible, that may not have even have been talked about. So the person might be like, no, I had no idea, right? Okay, perfect. Now you know, right? And then I also like to talk about the why, right? Why do we do that? Like, because sometimes Mary might think, do you just want me here early to just stand around? No, no. We want you here early because this is an ideal time to prepare your patient charts for the day, to understand the medical histories associated with every patient, to understand outstanding treatment for every patient. So when the doctor comes in to do a hygiene exam, you're not flustered and you're not, you already have it listed out clear as day. So you're able to quickly, through a handoff, explain to the doctor who this is, have they met the doctor, what the medical history is, what's outstanding, what's her concerns and obstacles, be it fear, money, whatever. That takes time to really understand. And if you're rolling into work 30 seconds before your first patient, you just don't have the ability to do that, right? So I think when you can explain that, and then you can explain the consequences of that. Like when you don't do that, the patient suffers, the handoff suffers, the doctor doesn't understand what they're walking into. It's been our experience that the behavior starts to change because they understand the value of it. They understand the why. Versus when we talk about consequences, like if you're late again, you're suspended. We're going to withhold bonus if you show up late two times next week. Like those power, I call them power type movements, they work in the short term, but man, they really build resentment. They build animosity. And they, if you cannot give clarity to the person for why you want them to behave a certain way, then it just never is a long term. It doesn't stick long term.
Yeah. So I agree. I mean, I think it always is best to kind of just start with just pulling that person aside, talking to them privately, having an informal conversation, but an important conversation that, you know, about the why. The why is so, so important. One of the great leadership books that I love is called Start With Why. It's a great read about why people need to understand the why behind what they do, because when they understand it, then it clicks for them, right? The behavior really, they're ready to change the behavior because now they understand the importance of showing up on time and, you know, prepping their charts and being ready with the patient, right? So 100% agree. I mean, if when you get to the place with somebody where you now have to take like a punitive approach, right? To me, that's already somebody that you kind of are almost ready to be coaching out. Sometimes those situations can be flipped around, meaning you've given the person the why, you've had, you know, the informal conversation, maybe more than once, and then they're still not able to pull it together. Right. But, and sometimes that, you know, that's a real come to Jesus moment where they're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize Jason was really serious about me being on time for huddle. And, I don't want to lose my job. So I am going to, you know, I'm going to turn this around. But oftentimes when we're getting to that stage already, it's we're kind of at the stage of coaching the person out, because we realize that they're not putting their part. We've put the ball in their court a few times and they haven't been able to do their part. So, I agree. I don't think that's ever, you know, a write up, a suspension, any of that sending somebody home early. I don't think those are ever good tactics to use, right out of the gate. I think it always has to be said with love. It always has to be said privately, right? Feedback is always given privately, never in front of the group. You can praise in front of the group, but never, never giving feedback, right? And the person really needs to understand why this is important to you, why it's important to the office, how it impacts them, their patients, their coworkers, right? So that they have the full picture and then can make hopefully a good decision to, you know, to better their behavior.
Yeah. So true. So true. We've actually, I referenced a couple minutes ago, constantly learning this stuff, right? So I think we're getting way better at, we call it going into the storm and being okay with having uncomfortable conversations about a behavior, a task where someone's not meeting an expectation or there's a gap in their behavior. That has to happen quickly, right? You can't have someone be late for morning meeting and then deal with it a week later. It just doesn't land butt, well.
Right? First time, second, like first time it happens, second time it happens, just talk to them then, right? It's so much better for everyone involved when you address it quickly, right?
Yeah. And I used to be so guilty of using myself as an example. I would hear a hygienist or an assistant, I'd be walking down the hall to go to the bathroom, hear a hygienist or an assistant say something to a patient that was so inappropriate, not inappropriate like in a negative way, but this is not how we say things, right? Or it was just true. It was just a false statement. And I would start to build up anxiety and I would be like upset. And then in my head, I'm like, I got to go talk to that person as soon as there's a break. And then an hour would go by and I'd be like, well, I can do it at the end of the day. And then the end of the day would come and I would say, you know, I'm kind of beat up and I need to get to my son's football game. I'll do it on Monday, right? Then the weekend goes by and then you're like, you forgot about it. And then a week later you walk to the bathroom down the hallway and the hygienist is saying the same thing. And you're like, oh, I was supposed to deal with that. And I never did. So,
I think that's one of the muscles that as leaders, you know, especially a new leader, if you're a new office owner or you're a new office manager and you've really never been in that position, like you said, this stuff takes reps and we're still, you and me have been lead. I mean, I've been leading people in dental offices since 2010. So, you know, what's that? 15 years in dental offices, leadership roles. And I made, you know, all the mistakes at the beginning when I was a new leader and you learn and you create. But these things are like to be able to jump on that and just nip it in the bud and talk to that person with, like you said, empathy, kindness, without making assumptions, right? Truly asking questions. Because sometimes somebody has something going on in their life that is preventing, they lost their babysitter in the morning or they have separated from their spouse and they're the ones who usually bring the kids to school. Sometimes something's going on that we need to know about, right? And they don't feel comfortable telling us. So just asking those questions and approaching them with kindness allows them that safe space to let us know what's going on with them, right? And then we can help them, you know, help them troubleshoot it. But having those conversations early is one of those things that you kick yourself later on when you lose a good employee and you feel like you failed them because you didn't set the expectations clearly enough or you didn't correct a behavior early enough. And when you started to correct it, now the relationship was damaged and that person decided to move on or whatever. And you're like, dang, she was such a great assistant. What did I do wrong there?
Yeah.
You know, so you learn, you know, nip in the bud early, learn to be really honest and kind with your employees and you'll have much better results. And truly you will set the expectation that nothing flies because you always really talk about it. Right. And that's healthy, right? That's really healthy. We want our employees to know that, you know, and we want them to feel comfortable saying, oh guys, I goofed up. Like I was late today. I'm so sorry. It won't happen again. But we want them to take that personal accountability too. So this helps, you know, kind of foster that sort of culture where people take ownership of things and they're able to correct themselves, hopefully.
Right? Yeah, no question. I've been on a number of Koji calls, as I'm sure you have been, where the number one complaint right out of the gate is I just lost a hygienist to this practice up the street for a dollar more an hour. I lost an assistant. And in their mind, the owner's blaming money. But when you start to unpack that and you say, well, when's the last time you had a heart-to-heart conversation with that person? Or when's the last time you gave them some clarity on if they're winning their job and if they're doing their role at a high level? And, you know, there's a pause in the conversation and like, well, I don't have time for that. Well, you better find time to recruit and find a replacement because you didn't put in the work on the front end and now you lost somebody. And all that was needed was a regular cadence of conversations of giving them feedback that they're either killing it or that there's a gap in the expectation and coaching them up. And it's what people need. It's like it, yeah. They want to know if they're winning. And if you, to go back to like kids, if you truly love your kids, like I know you do, you would coach them up. Like if you see one of your kids lying, then you're not going to just say, I'll get to that later. You're going to go into it and deal with it. Right. Exactly. But why, if an assistant is doing something that's inappropriate or that's not the expectation, why would you just turn a blind eye to it? Why wouldn't you just address it? And I had a proud dad moment in a work related issue. We had quarterly meetings all this week and it was chaos, but it was amazing. And I was in one of the offices and we were talking about this type of stuff. And I said, one of the doctors spoke up and they ultimately said, you know, it's really selfish not to have those conversations. And they've heard me say that multiple times. And I truly believe it, where who benefits from not having this conversation? Again, you're walking down the hallway, you hear the assistant say something or do something that's inappropriate or that is not the expectation. And if you truly don't address it, the only person that's really benefiting is the doctor or whoever heard it, because now they don't have to get uncomfortable dealing with it, because the team member doesn't benefit because they think they're doing the right thing, right? Right. The patient doesn't benefit because they're getting the wrong information. The organization certainly doesn't benefit because we're going in the wrong direction. So the only person that really benefits is the person that doesn't have to have the uncomfortable conversation. And it was just so great for me to hear this doctor be like, it's selfish if we don't have these conversations. Right. And I was like, when? So,
nice. Yeah. You always love that, right? When right. you get an associate to think like, you know, a leader in the practice, like an owner, like, you know, I love that. I love
yeah, when they no step
up and they really take ownership.
No doubt. Well, this has been great, Kaylin. I mean, I could talk about this stuff all day with you.
I know. We're such nerds on this stuff.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have to nerd out. I'll totally nerd out on it with you. And I'm you know what? Clear my calendar. Caitlin's calling. we're gonna do a half day on this stuff.
Tell them to move Easter. We need the whole weekend.
Exactly. Let's delay church till Monday. Caitlin and I are gonna hammer this shit out.
Right.
But I really appreciate the time. I really appreciate the conversation. Just little conversations like this make me better. Even when I feel like I have a good grasp on it, just hearing you talk it through, I'm just like, you know, taking notes here and little nuggets that I'm going to add to my own processes that I think are going to make me better. So I really appreciate that, Kaylin.
Oh, thank you, Jason. I love talking to you about this kind of stuff. And yeah, I'm your like biggest fan when it comes to culture and the kind of buy-in that you have with your teams and the way they feel loved at work. So I'm fangirling out too. So it's been
awesome. All right, Clay, thank you so much for the time and let's connect again soon.
Okay. Sounds Bye. Good. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That wraps up another episode of the Dental Lighthouse Podcast. You have a choice today. Choose to be a lighthouse. Lighthouses are powerful and steadfast. They are beacons of light for others to reference when life gets turbulent. Go out into the world today and become a lighthouse for someone. Give more than you get. True joy comes from serving others. Start today. I'm Jason Tenorio, your host. Thank you for listening to the Dental Lighthouse Podcast. For more information, podcast show notes, or links to anything that we have discussed today, please check out our website, thedentallighthouse.com. We would love to hear from you. If you would like to get on the show, please email us at podcast@thedentallighthouse.com.